Hello, my name is Chris McGraw, and welcome to the Watermark Podcast of 1 Samuel. Today I want to reflect on what I believe is one of the most moving passages in the Bible, 1 Samuel 20, verses 24 through 42. It's a story that speaks to the heart of what it means to be a true friend and the transformative power of forgiveness. This passage captures a poignant moment in the lives of David and Jonathan. Jonathan, the son of King Saul, finds himself caught between his loyalty to his father and his love for his dear friend David. King Saul's jealousy towards David has reached a boiling point, and his desire to take David's life is unyielding. Yet, within the tension of this story, we witness an extraordinary bond of friendship and a model of grace that continues to inspire us today. Here is what the scripture says. So David hid in the field, and when the new moon feast came, the king sat down to eat. He sat in his customary place by the wall opposite Jonathan, and Abner sat next to Saul, but David's place was empty. Saul said nothing that day, for he thought, something must have happened to David to make him ceremonially unclean. Surely he is unclean. But the next day, the second day of the month, David's place was empty again. Then Saul said to his son Jonathan, why hasn't the son of Jesse come to the meal, either yesterday or today? Jonathan answered, David earnestly asked me for permission to go to Bethlehem. He said, let me go, because our family is observing a sacrifice in the town, and my brother has ordered me to be there. If I have found favor in your eyes, let me get away to see my brothers. That is why he has not come to the king's table. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die. Why should he be put to death? What has he done? Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. On that second day of the feast, he did not eat, because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. In the morning, Jonathan went up to the field for his meeting with David. He had a small boy with him, and he said to the boy, run and find the arrows I shoot. As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the boy came to the place where Jonathan's arrow had fallen, Jonathan called out after him, isn't the arrow beyond you? Then he shouted, hurry, go quickly, don't stop. The boy picked up the arrow and returned to his master. The boy knew nothing about all of this. Only Jonathan and David knew. Then Jonathan gave his weapon to the boy and said, go, carry them back to town. After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times, with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever. Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. The farewell between Jonathan and David in verses 41 and 42 is a moment of profound emotion. The two friends embrace, weep, and reaffirm their covenant before the Lord, acknowledging that their bond transcends earthly circumstances. It is a heart-wrenching goodbye, but is also a testament to the enduring power of their friendship, one rooted in their shared faith and trust in God. There's a lot of themes and stories in these verses. Betrayal, loss, confusion, rage, wounded hearts, grief, bewilderment. For myself, this is one of the most powerful examples of a father wounding his son and humiliating him in front of hundreds and hundreds of people. There's also the story of a loss of Jonathan's friendship to save David from certain death. There's a story of David struggling with the loss of his friend, and a story of living in the tension of a king trying to kill him, and David wondering if he will ever assume the throne. What can we learn from the scripture today, and how can we apply this to our lives or situations we are facing now? I think two themes come to mind that I want to focus on, the power of friendship and the power of forgiveness. Let's start with the friendship Jonathan and David have in these verses. Jonathan was roughly 30 years older than David, and he was the oldest son of King Saul. David, on the other hand, was the youngest of the family of Jesse. I believe the power of true friendship can withstand incredibly stressful times in our lives. The power of friendship can keep us out of troubled waters and avoid disasters in our lives. And I wonder often if David would have had his affair with Bathsheba if Jonathan was around. God provides us opportunities and puts people in our lives for our emotional and our spiritual growth. Friendships like Jonathan and David can draw us closer to Christ and bring healing if we allow it. A personal example to illustrate this was in my own life with other men. My father suffered from alcoholism, and growing up in my home, he wounded me greatly with verbal and physical abuse as a child. It was at least several years that I experienced this, as well as my brothers. We were always very cautious not to incite the rage inside him, and often it came out quickly. It was traumatic and it was painful. Unbeknownst to me, though, at that time, God really began to work with other men to guide me down this very difficult path. In elementary school, I had a teacher who had an inkling of what was going on in my home and was very kind to me on the hard days when I was in school. In high school, I had a male teacher and a coach who knew the situation and poured into me daily as a kid trying to figure life out. God blessed me with male role models later in high school, and towards the end of my father's life, I had been fortunate to take advantage of opportunities where men engaged me to walk me through those painful years. Through it all, I believed the lie that I was not good enough for my dad, nor ever I will be. Throughout my adult life, message after message was hurled at me like a spear, wanting to kill my spirit. And yet these men walked with me in the later years of my time with my dad to help me process through the pain of what my father was doing. A while after my father died, the journey of forgiveness began. Biblical forgiveness towards a man who did not ask for it. It was a 16-month journey of grief, of revelation, pursuing God's desires, healing, and countless hours with my closest companions to show me what biblical forgiveness was. Ultimately, there was healing, and in my heart, I know I will see my father again in the heavens. When I read this specific passage and story of Jonathan and David, I have so many questions I want to ask them. So many emotions and trauma happen here that I cannot help wanting to know how these guys processed everything. For example, Jonathan, after your dad tried to kill you, why did you go back and stay with him until the very end of your life as the Philistines were encircling you? David, you took Jonathan's son after his father's death and seated him in the court with you when most kings during traditional times would have killed the families of their predecessors. I mean, that was an accepted practice to prevent the predecessor's family from rebellion. What was running through your mind as you saw your best friend's son sitting at your table? That had to be a powerful time, not only for you, but for the son of Jonathan, knowing you were sparing him from death. I think a call to honor prominent men through covenant in their lives permeated through Jonathan and David that lasted beyond just their years together. God speaks time after time about the power of friendship. John 15, verses 12 and 13, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Proverbs 17, 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Scripture even talks about the friends of God. Isaiah 41, verse 8, God refers to Abraham as my friend. Exodus 33, verse 11, the Lord says, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. John 15, verse 15, Jesus calls his disciples friends. Friendship is valued as a deep, loyal, self-sacrificing relationship where friends support each other through good times and bad times. They offer honest advice even when difficult, and they are willing to lay down their lives for one another, exemplified by the story of David and Jonathan. Essentially, a true friend is someone who helps you grow closer to God by encouraging each other and helping each other stay the course in life. What does friendship look like to you or to me in our lives? Where can we strengthen friendships to grow each other as we walk through life together? Are we willing to stand by our friends, even when it costs us something? Are we willing to be vulnerable and open, as David and Jonathan were with each other? Grow friendships in the good times so we can lean on each other during the rough times of life. Now let's turn to the theme of forgiveness embedded within this narrative. Although the passage does not explicitly describe forgiveness in word, it is present in the action of both men. Jonathan demonstrates forgiveness towards his father, Saul, despite Saul's irrational anger and violent behavior. Rather than harboring resentment, Jonathan continues to show respect and love for his father, even as he stands against his unjust actions. The continuing story of Saul trying to destroy David provides us a glimpse of what biblical forgiveness carries and some high-level concepts of what it looks like. Just like Jonathan and David, there's a cost that cannot be determined by forgiving someone. Jesus dies for all sins, including the offender, not just the offended. Unforgiveness is both spiritually and physically unhealthy. Forgiveness is necessary because sin lives in this world. There is a firm foundation for forgiveness rooted in scriptures. There is supreme power in forgiveness. It takes away the power of Satan that can hold on to you. And Jesus died for all sins, including the offender, not just the offended. Find that person and engage, for the reward of godly friendships and community can bring healing, protection, joy, and growth in all of our lives. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the gift of friendship and the gift of forgiveness. Your examples bring the value to all of us in grief, the pain, the redemption, and the joy of good friendships. May you bless those that pursue godly friendships and allow those friendships to be a beacon of hope to those around who hunger for true friendship and community in our church. May you bless every one of us who practice forgiving our tormentors and those that have offended us, not only in the past, but in times yet to come. As we reflect on the friendship of David and Jonathan, may we be also reminded of the perfect friendship we have in Christ and the boundless forgiveness he extends to all of us. Thank you for the love, the grace, and your forgiveness towards us in this world. In your great name, I pray.